Acts chapter 14. Last week we didn't get as far as we wanted to, as far as I had planned, because Matt shared. Now, I'm not saying that as a bad thing, because I think it worked nicely in accordance with what we were saying. I think, you know, it's something that the Holy Spirit orchestrated. I don't know if you noticed how nicely that dovetailed together. It was a real blessing to me. But anyway, so we didn't get as far. We probably ended in verse like 20. And let's just kind of back up and get a running start at this. You remember, they're in Derbe and Lystra, and they're preaching the gospel. Now, there was a certain man back in verse 8 of Lystra, impotent in his feet. He, being a cripple from his mother womb, had never walked. Okay, never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Well, the people freak out and they think, okay, we have gods are come down in verse 11. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Verse 12, they call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. So the priest of Jupiter, okay, he comes down. He's going to sacrifice to these gods made men now. Incredible, right? Oh, this is great. A great day. The gods are here. They've come down to us. Now, this never happened to Barnabas and to Paul before. So they're kind of like freak. These are good Jewish men. You know, they're freaking out. This can't be good. Nothing good can come of this. So they go in. When they heard of these things, they rent their clothes. That's a sign of extreme emotion, okay? Usually grief or anguish, you know, like when somebody dies or something like this. You're saying, well, nobody died. It's not good. This is a bad thing that's happened as far as they're concerned. So they you know, ripped their clothes. They ran in among these people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good, and he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with good and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them." It took as much as they... It was a hard sell. I mean, they're all excited. Hey, there's gods here. Yay, let's sacrifice to them. And so here they are saying, no, it's not right. We're of the true God who created everything. And we're telling you that God says, turn from these vanities. Not a good word. He's saying your worship is idolatrous. It's vanity. It's a vain thing. It's empty. They wouldn't be very excited about that, by the way. And verse 19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." What a verse. You know, the one minute they're gods, next minute they're stoning Paul, and now he's dead. Or they suppose he's dead. Suppose has the idea of supposing it is, with the idea like, listen, these are Jewish people. They know how to stone people, and they know what a dead man looks like after being stoned. Was Paul actually dead and raised back up? We don't know. It's a little vague here. He had been stoned to death. Well, he ends up alive. Now, one of two things happened. They didn't quite do the job all the way, or God resurrected him. Which one of those things is true? I would say the first, unless I fold in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll go there just in a second. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up." That's the same phrase as who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving he had faith. He said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on the feet." That's the same phrase, by the way. You wouldn't see it because they've translated two different ways, the same Greek phrase. So the disciples, and Timothy's probably there. This is his hometown, okay? They rose up, and he came into the city. Why? Because I think he's dead. I think he was dead, and I don't think he has any more fear at this point. What are they going to do, stone me again? He'll threaten me with a good time. I've been there. I saw the light, and not figuratively, literally. I know what's on the other side. They can't do anything to me. We've got to figure that out first to last. Do you still fear death? Why? I mean, the worst thing that can happen is they can kill you. That's not the worst thing. That's the best thing. You're going to send me home to be with Jesus? You have to figure that out sooner or later. Otherwise, you're always all nerved up about your death. Listen, I don't want to go too soon only for this. I feel like I got stuff to do here. Like maybe teach the Bible, like perhaps maybe to you people. I got grandkids. I just soon, hang around for a while. As far as death, though, listen, I figured that out long ago. I can't get worried about stuff like that. I know where I'm going. Do you really believe that? Yeah. I'd stake my eternity on it. You can't be worried about stuff like that. You can't be worried. You can't have fear. It's not what God wants for us. So he goes back into the city. He says, I don't beat feet out of there. Yeah, what is he going back? Okay, finish the job. What is it? Is it a testimony? I don't know. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sorry. It's chapter 12. No wonder I couldn't find it. Chapter 12, verse 1, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ, about 14 years ago, by the way, that would place this at about this time. It happened more than 14 years ago, he says. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Now, the third heaven's that's a phrase everyone kind of scratches their head. He's saying not the atmosphere, not outer space. Heaven of heavens. You know that one where God lives? The third heaven. That was the way they calculated it, okay? And what he wants to say, he's going to go up in a hot air balloon. I wasn't an astronaut, okay? These ancient astronauts didn't come down and take me aboard their spacecraft. He's not saying anything like that. He said, I went to the third heaven. Heaven's heaven. You know, the one with the gold streets, tree of life on both sides of the river of life, kind of that. You know that heaven? That's the one I went to, okay? Third heaven. I knew a man, and of course he's talking about himself here. He puts it in like kind of the third person. That guy there, he's talking about himself. In the body, I don't know. Out of the body, I don't know. God knows that. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now, skip. Verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. This kind of thing is kind of heady wine, isn't it? This is the kind of thing that you'd, I got it going on. Look at the revelations that I've had. Well, I'm going to have a 14-tape series available for $79.95. I was in heaven, let me tell you all the stuff that happened there. Actually, when it comes to all the stuff that happened there, he's like, I can't even, it'd be unlawful. It'd be against the law. It'd be wrong. It's just not right for me to try to explain. Why? Because there's no nomenclature. There's no nouns for the stuff I saw. There's no way I can describe it using my, all I got is, I don't know, Paul's like totally smart. He's probably got like 6 or 7 languages under his belt. All I got is a vocabulary of about 17 million words. I can't describe it using any of them. There's no way I could tell you about it. When we see in the Revelation when John goes up to heaven, he's like a valley girl, isn't he? It's like because he just says about like, it's like this and it's like that. Why? Because he can't say it is this because there's no words for it. That's why Paul didn't have the revelation. He would come back and said, okay, first I saw, forget about it. Because here he does that. He says, it's not expedient. It would be a crime for me to even try to explain it to you. But I think Paul died here. And so I think that's what happened. Now, Paul's ministry changes after this. It really does. When they come to start, stoning him or beating him with rods or anything like this, he's like, what else you got? He's not beating feet out of the city anymore. He's not running from anybody. I can't remember exactly where I was, and I don't want to look it up. The first time they're preaching, and they going to do violence to him, so they get out of there in a hurry. He's not doing that anymore. He's like, what can you do? What can you do to a guy who's not afraid of death? You can't shut him up. That's why I think it's very, very important we get to be those people. You can't. Because with a guy like that, there's nothing you can do. I think he becomes that person. Yeah, I'll go back to Lystra. I don't care about that. The worst they can do is stone me, and the worst they can do is the best they can do. When he came back, was he all like lumpy? Like all contusions, all like broken bones? Was he all like, did he you know, limp back into town, drag himself back in town, or was he all healed? I don't know. So much mystery here, you know? And here's the thanks I get. Lord, I've given you my whole life, and now they're stoning me. First they think I'm a god, and then they're stoning me. Nifty. I think I love serving you. This is really wonderful. We don't see any of that. You know what I mean? And look, by the way, if you're serving God for the praises of men, one, that's the totally wrong motive, and two, it's not going to... Because I've already seen this. Adam, are you trying to say you're having problems with us and the fact that, you know, one day we'll tell you how wonderful you are, next day we'll... No. I got it real easy so far. But I understand something, you know, like people are fickle. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything. Please, don't get alarmed. But I've seen it in my life. I've seen it happen before. You know, I saw it in my church. I saw it with my pastor, Ken Graves. He's the best. God bless him. He's the best pastor in the whole world until he sacrifices my sacred cow. And now that bum, who does he think he is talking about? You know, it's like that with every pastor. And if you're looking for the praise, the accolades, the plaudits of men, forget about it. Is that why you're serving God? That's a silly reason because people are fickle. Look at Jesus comes riding on a colt, a donkey, a young donkey, never been rid before, up over the Mount of Olives. And they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Save now, they're saying, in his jubilation and his excitement. And they're worshiping him. They're throwing down palm branches. And it's just, the place is an uproar. What, 2, 3, 4 days later? Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and on our children. People are fickle. Here is, they're gods. Oh, yeah, people come and he's, oh, this guy, trouble. I can't believe you let him into the city. This guy's bad news. Oh, yeah, I kind of thought so myself. And so now they're stoning him. Isn't that just the way people are? I mean, it's just that way. So don't. There's a few people I let in my life speak into my life. You kind of, you know, somebody just comes in off the street. Oh, it was wonderful. I'm thinking, okay, praise God. He thought so. You're a bum. You don't know what you're talking about. No, okay, praise God too. You know, it doesn't really. Now, I have some friends in my life who say, Adam, listen, that was a little over the top what you said about, and that's fine. Because I know people who love me, and they have an opportunity to say things, and it comes from a place of love, and I let that happen. Why? Because I'm not the be-all and end-all. I can go, you know, I can say, just mess up, like, and I have. Have I said anything I've ever regretted? Yeah, only, I don't know, once a week. No, not that often, but, you know, often. I shouldn't have said that. I should have said it this way. I second-guess myself like everybody else does. But I'm not trying to say, you know, it's not about, like, people saying, oh, you're doing good, and I just love that. And when they say, oh, that wasn't so special, I hate that. It's not really about that. All of my plans, I lay them down at his feet because nothing else really matters except that he's happy with me. Where did I hear that before? I don't know. But anyway, that's just like that's my whole plan. That's my whole Lord. I just want you to be happy with what I say. And we've settled this a long time ago. It's not about people coming up and telling me I'm wonderful. That's nice. I know people say, well, I don't want this to go to your head and stuff like this. That's nice that you don't want to go to my head. Listen, don't worry about that. I live with me. I know who I am, okay? My head, there is a danger. I guess that, but it's not my biggest. You know what I mean? I know who I am. People say, oh, that was wonderful. You know what I always say? I say, well, praise God. Why? Because if anything ever, I ever said anything to change your life for good and for God, guess what? That was the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. How do you take credit for stuff that's got nothing to do with you? Anyway, let's keep moving. We're not getting very far, are we? Okay. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, we're talking about Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. So now they're back at Lystra again, where he got stoned. I tell you, this man has no fear. And to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He's got a different perspective now. Hey, we're going to heaven, but there's much tribulation. Phlipsis is the word. The same word as the great tribulation, but don't get confused. It just means a lot of heartburn, a lot of heartache, and a lot of hardship comes into your life before you go to heaven. It's a fallen world. That happens. Now hang on, because just because you came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that you're on easy street from here on in. As a matter of fact, some of you people are learning that, hey, I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Boy, I got troubles now. Thanks, Lord, for giving me all these troubles. Hey, look, I want to tell you, we'll look in the book of Peter someday, and we'll realize there's a reason for all this suffering and all this trials. He's building into us into something. I see some of you guys struggling, and I'm thinking, wow, God loves you. You are going to be such a tough guy when I'm not lying. You're going to be such a tough guy when this trial is over. Oh, there'll be another one behind it. I know, you know, he's always building us. And what are you struggling with? I can go right out of the room and everyone will have something. And some of us will say, well, not right now. I've got a little bit of lull in the action. I can say to you, just wait. It'll happen. Don't even worry about it. Because that's how it goes. That's how it always goes. Through much trouble, we enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they ordained them elders. How long have these people been saved? A week? A month? Yeah. Well, why did they ordain elders after a month? Hey, listen, because I think one, out of necessity, but two, God can grow you up in a hurry. I got to tell you, this is, you want me to show you fast track? Because I can do it. Lord, here I am. I am totally yours. Period, paragraph, end of statement. You're going to grow, oh man. We'll see. We'll watch it. We'll say, "Wow, is that boy sprouting? Is that young lady? Is that man just? Oh, they're incredible." The problem is he has to overcome our self, and once that goes away, growth happens. I mean, that's how it works. The problem is we're always, "I'm not so sure. Oh, I give my whole life. I don't know. Oh." Okay, wrestle there. When you're finally ready to give him your whole life, we'll see. Well, oh man, you're gonna see growth. I'm telling you. I'm trying to look at anybody because people say, "Is he talking to me?" I'm not your judge. I'm your brother who loves you. I'm not your judge. Okay, so a lot of things I say, and then I kind of look at somebody. I don't mean to do that because, like, you know what I mean. Okay, never mind. We'll keep going. They ordained the elders in the church. What did that look like? It looked like obviously they were praying, "Lord, who do you want us to leave in charge of this?" And it was okay. There was people. They didn't have a Bible per se. They had Old Testament scriptures, and they had the Holy Spirit of God, and they really had all they needed. The Spirit of God would lead them. He would guide them. They prayed, and they fasted. They prayed with fasting. Then commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Okay, Lord, we got to go. We got other churches to build and to establish. You take care of them now. Isn't that a good thing? It's all you need. I told you I don't care about my death so much. Listen, I'll die, and what is this? This flock will be scattered to the wind. No, it's just God didn't die. The Word of God didn't die. Nothing will change. It'll just be another monkey up here. It's just kind of just... You know how irreplaceable I am? Put your hand into a bucket of water, right? And then take it out and see how long it takes the water to just kind of settle over. That's me. Once I'm gone, I'll just take that. I'm nothing. I'm not special. I'm just a servant of God like anybody else who wants to serve God. It's just totally replaceable. You know what I mean? So I just commend you to the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about anybody, all of us. It's about the Lord in your life. That's a wise thing Paul and Barnabas are doing. I do that. But it was their idea first. After that, they had passed through Pisidia. They came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Italia. This whole thing's about 800 miles. No, 80 miles. So 80 miles, that's not a big deal. Yeah, it is on foot. Went to Portland yesterday. No big deal. It's like 90 miles from Newport. It's no big deal. In a car. I mean, think about it. You know, this time of year, walking on camels or something. That'd be a major undertaking. I don't think we'd be back yet, by the way. You know, start without us. We won't be back. But in car, it's not so bad. But here, they're going on foot everywhere they go. And they say these things like there's a verse and it's like a 40 mile later verse. You know, I went to, you know, to from Perga, they went to Italia. How far is that? I don't know. You probably have a map there because I do. And most study Bibles will have one. You can follow that stuff out. I just want you to understand, these people are hazarding. I don't even know if that's a verb. These people are laying their lives out and just, Lord, whatever. And they're going over some rough terrain, uphill, downhill, crossing this, that. They're serious. They're if you feel a little convicted, that's okay. I like I say, right along, I think we've been getting like missionary lessons. Why? Am I going to be some other country? Oh, maybe, maybe not. I don't know that. Only God can say. But you don't have to go anywhere to be a missionary. There's plenty of people right here that you need that need the word of God. So, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. When they were come, they gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. How long? We don't know. Imagine all the stories, all the adventures. Yeah, and then they thought they were God. We thought, we were at Lystra. They thought we were gods. They what? Yeah, yeah, they thought I was Jupiter. They thought Paul was Mercury. No way. So what'd you do? Well, we couldn't let him sacrifice to us. Yeah, then what happened? Well, some Jews came and they stirred him up. Oh, these guys are troublemakers. Yeah, we kind of suspected. And they stoned us. They what? They stoned Paul. He stoned you. What? So what happened? How'd you get away? I didn't. What does he say to them? You know, I died. I knew this man who in the body of, I don't know, you know, he went up to heaven. What is this fellowship? What did this look like? What did this, as he relates all these things to them, and he recounts and rehearses all these things to them, this, what a, boy, I would have been like to have been a fly on the wall of that conversation. Chapter 15, Acts 15, we'll keep going, we got time. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Much of the New Testament pivots on and around this teaching and on this verse. It's a little verse. Oh, it's big. It's big. Oh, it's a huge verse. These are people who love Moses and love the law. And now some of these are believers who are misbelievers. And some of these are believers who are unbelievers. Like, what I mean is this. Some of these people here, Paul will call them the Judaizers. They want to make it, Jews out of us. Some of these believed in Jesus Christ. Some of them did not. But the thing was, that what they had in common was, yeah, Jesus, no, that's totally cool. Believe in Jesus, you have to, he's the Messiah after all, but you still got to keep the law. Circumcision, we need to, you know, you got to keep the feasts, you got to do the Sabbath, you got to keep Jewish dietary laws, etc., 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 etc. Hey, they're still around. They are still around. I can name the groups. I can name the teachers. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. You come ask me later, I'll tell you. But they're still around. Has anyone ever challenged you with Sabbath keeping? Sure. Sure. Has anyone ever challenged you with Jewish dietary laws? Oh, you can't be eating that. You can't. Eating pork chops? You can't be doing that. That's totally. Well, it hasn't happened to you. Live long enough, it will. And it's still, I think the circumcision thing is kind of, I don't want to be crude, what a blessing that is. Imagine if we were sharing the gospel and part of the gospel was circumcision. Just think about that. The church ain't going to grow very fast. You know, guys are like, I don't know about that. I just, you know, couldn't get anyone to be a deacon or something, because they, you know, some would have to check, make sure. I just think about it. Seriously, think about it. Who wants that's not part of the gospel. That kind of went aside, because we'll see that they'll take that idea and they'll so thoroughly they'll settle it so thoroughly that the question won't still come up. But other things still do come up. People don't understand our relationship to the Jewish law. They certainly don't. I mean, Christians, people love the Lord. You know, well, because here's the debate. Here's where how it comes. You believe the Ten Commandments, and you'll say, well, sure I do. You'll say, well, it's still wrong for a man to commit adultery, and you'll say, yeah, of course it is. Well, you'll think that murder's still wrong, and you'll say, of course murder's wrong. And they'll say, so we keep 9 of the commandments, we don't keep Sabbath? That's how they get you. And the answer to that question is, yes, you're correct. We keep 9 of the commandments, and Sabbath is not one of them that we have to. That's specifically a rule to Israel for a specific time. If you study your Bible, you'd know that. Serious. But that's how they do. And other things like that. And I've seen it. I've heard it. Maybe you have too. Let's keep going. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, this is Luke's way of saying big, no small. He always says that, right? And he means, oh, this was big doings. They had no small dissension and disputation with them. Why? Because this is the heart of the gospel. I've shared the gospel with you many times. We've gone over it in Scripture. I've taught through all four gospels. I'm in the book of Acts. I mean, you think we've hit the gospel yet? I kind of think we've talked about it once or twice, or maybe even three times. And what do I always say? Belief in Jesus Christ based on what he's done for us. He died to pay the penalty for our sins. You believe in him, heaven. You don't believe in him, hell. I've said it so often, so many times. And now, if I had to fold into an element of, oh, you got to keep the law, and you got to keep it real well. You got to not only get circumcised, you got to keep all the Jewish dietary laws. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Oh, you can't do that, you can't do that, abstain from this, abstain. That's not the gospel. That's the difference between the true and the false. Listen, I was religious. You know this. And I don't commend religion to you. The do's and the don'ts. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've never, get this one thing straight. And of course you do. I mean, I know I'm like a broken record here, but I always want to be. I mean, I want to say the same thing consistently all the time. Of course there's no small disputation. This is the heart of the gospel. This Mormons come to my door. I chase them away with vigor, with elan, and much energy. Really? You do? Yeah, I really do. Why? Because they don't have the gospel. They have a broken, pagan religion that they're trying to offer me. And they're trying to take people in my neighborhood and get them into that cult that's going to drag people to hell. Adam, those are strong words. You think? Don't try to get me to apologize for them. Well, that's not politically correct. It isn't the kingdom that where I worship it is. It's the most politically correct thing to say. No, there's people who are laboring under false conclusions. We minister the gospel to them. Then there are people who are teaching godless wickedness, and that's what we deal with them a little bit different. I want you to understand that. I'll explain to you at length. No apologies. There's no small disputation. And they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Hey, let's settle this once for all. We'll get the head higher up muckety-mucks, the original 12. Well, the guys who were with Jesus, who know the deal, and we'll get them to settle this once and for all. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. I told you, listen, these are Pharisees who believe. They believe in Jesus. We have Jewish people today who believe in Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. Are they going to hell? No, they're going to heaven. Do they have extra stuff on their gospel? Yeah. Sometimes. Oh, no, I'm not saying all Jews, but these Pharisees do. They believe in Jesus. They're brothers. They're saved. And they said, because they believed, that word's always used for believers, that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Now you have the combatants, the in this corner, okay, we have Pharisees here, and Pharisees are kind of legalistic people who always add to the word, okay? Don't be that way. Don't be a legalist. I want you to be strict in your observation. No, observation is the wrong word. I want you to be real in your relationship with God. Relationships aren't hard. No, they're really not. Religion's kind of hard, But the thing at the end of the day, we get to pat ourselves on the back. What a great job I did. Look, we get the matrix on the refrigerator door. Okay, did I pray today? And we get, you know, this going down here is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Prayer, Bible reading. Did I witness, tell somebody about Jesus? Did I do my memory verse? And we put the little stars or the little check marks on Sunday. Yes, I did all those things. And so by the end of the week, the whole thing is covered with stars or checks or whatever you use. Boy, I really got it going on. I got this spiritual stuff down pat. And you think, you just took the bait. Pride's horrific. Try to get rid of pride in your life. You'll have some combat on your hand. You just swallowed the bait. Now you're fighting as Satan's catching. You're going to end up in a boat here pretty quick. It's not going to be pleasant, okay? Pride, it's horrible. Religion, it'll do one of two things. It'll make you proud, or you'll realize you're not doing a real good job of it, and then you'll be thoroughly depressed. Oh, I'm never going to do enough to... I took the latter because I wasn't doing such a hot job. So I came to the place where I said, I'm never going to do this. This is totally, I just can't, you know, I go to, because I told you guys, you know, I'm Catholic. I want a confession, right? It's great. Tell the priest all this, you know, private stuff, little boy kind of stuff and all this, you know, embarrassing stuff, you know. Okay, Adam, we'll say a couple Hail Marys, and oh, yeah, he knows it's me. Because I was an altar boy, and, you know, they all knew me. I mean, it's kind of like, it's mortifying. So I'd say my two Hail Marys, and I believe that that was efficacious. I believe that real stuff was happening. Now I'm totally, hoo-hoo, all right, God, if you're going to bust with my name on it, run me over right now, because I'm just going to go right to heaven. I'm just so squeaky clean. But by the time I get home, I wasn't. I mean, I lived a couple blocks away, and I figured I got to go back and go again. And he's like, go back to confession. It was horrific. It was like, I'm never going to get this down right. I'm never going to. So I figured, like, okay, when I'm like 105 and I'm done sinning, then, you know, maybe I'll go to confession once and I'll get, you know. What a horrible way to live. You know what I mean? Never doing enough. Never, you know, just like. That gerbil on the wheel, running furiously, not getting anywhere. I felt like that. I always say it's like when they dangle a carrot out in front of you, like when you're a donkey pulling a cart or something like that. No matter how fast you go, you ain't getting any closer to that carrot at all, are you? That's how it was, you know. Because I always said, oh, you know, heaven, it's out here. If you just do enough, I just couldn't do enough. I just couldn't. It was very, very frustrating. It was very, very depressing. Religion will do that. God won't. He's all I need. It's a relationship. I love him. Why? Because he loved me first. And he saved me. Now it's just praise and worship to him and service to him. And all the do's and don'ts. Hey, you know, if I'm loving God, I'm really, really loving him, and I want to please him. You know, murder doesn't come into the picture very often at all. I mean, it really doesn't. Righteous indignation does, you know. Murder doesn't. Lust? No. I'm loving God and lust too. No, he'll convict you of that. Pride? No, he'll show you that you should be a very humble person. All I got to do is the relationship, and the other stuff works out for itself. Okay? So here's the players, the Pharisees and the apostles. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. This is a very important matter. Is the Holy Spirit of God here driving? I'm sure. He wouldn't let this question go unanswered or answered the wrong way. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what we're going to tell everybody forever. And when there had been much disputing, why? Because that's how people are. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's back to chapter 10, the house of Cornelius. You remember that. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. It'd be good if we went back and reread that. He's got like probably a 4 or 5 point sermon. He makes the first point saying that Jesus died for your sins and the Holy Spirit at that point falls on the disciples, on these Gentiles, at Cornelius' house, before he gets the chance to say anything else. God says, up, you got exactly where I wanted you to get to. Throws the exclamation point in the form of the Holy Spirit, and these people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Before he can muck it up by talking about circumcision or Sabbath or anything like that. He talks about Jesus Christ and faith in him, and the Holy Spirit comes and fills up the, these Gentiles, and now they're all full of the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in tongues, et cetera, et cetera. And the circumcision, the people with Peter, they're amazed, like, wow, I can't believe it. The Holy Spirit's on them just like he was on us at Pentecost. And that's the point. Now, Peter remembers that. He learns from that, and he's sharing that. The Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Now, that's the key phrase. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Hey, I went over to their house. I had pork roll. I had some salami. It was wonderful, by the way. And that Italian salami, oh, that was, I got to tell you, spicy and stuff. And now, here we are, and I'm preaching the gospel, and he didn't tell them they got to keep Jewish dietary laws. The Spirit of God in me didn't say, oh, make sure they all get circumcised. He didn't. He filled them, and he put no distinction between them and us. Were these Romans, these Gentiles circumcised? Of course not. Why would they be? It's not like people did that for like a hobby or something. So here they are, all these men and women who came together, all the men are uncircumcised, and the Holy Spirit falls on them, saying, I don't care about stuff like that. The things you care about aren't the things I care about. Obviously, he's putting the emphasis, the exclamation point on Peter's sermon. Peter gets it, and Peter's sharing that. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Oh, praise God. God bless you, Peter. That's a good word. You can't keep the law. Now, we got to make sure they keep it so they can't keep it just like we can't keep it. They're inept at not keeping the law as we are. We got to make sure that they have that distinction. Here, keep all these things that you can possibly do because we couldn't possibly do anything. Make sure you do it, though. What? We couldn't do it. How are we going to? Why? Look at. And now, therefore, why tempt ye God? No, God's already spoken on the matter. When the Holy Spirit of God fell, I got it. Why tempt ye God? Why are you putting God to the test now? Why are we going to try to get them to be law keepers? We can't do it either. When you come to the place in your life where you understand you can't keep the law, praise you, Lord. That's a wonderful thing that you do in our hearts and in our lives, and you bring us to that place. Would to God that we are all there all the time, always. Because every once in a while, I start thinking to myself, oh, I'm doing a pretty good job of it. I need the grace of God every day. I need the filling of God in my life every single day. I need the word of God in my life every single day. I still am a man in need of a Savior. I haven't got over that. I'm not, okay, thanks for setting me on my feet, Lord. I'll take care of it from here. What? I still can't keep the law. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Them and us is no difference. It's how we save, by the grace of God. How are they saved? By the grace of God. There's only two ways to get saved, grace and law. And good luck on law. You can't do it. And that's what Paul's saying here. We're told many places, you can't do it. You can't keep the law. The law was our schoolmaster. Well, what was it teaching us? It was teaching us that we couldn't keep the law. Is that the reason for the law? Yes. I'm going over it in Deuteronomy. We're having a really good time. I am. I don't know if we all are. But it's a wonderful study as we understand the mind of God and the heart of God, and we understand what God required for law keepers. It's marvelous. We just can't do it. And all the multitudes kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Imagine that. He told them all the stuff, all the things, the stoning, the being let down in Damascus in a basket. I mean, all the stuff, I think Paul has some stories to tell. I hope he's a good storyteller, because this would be like totally fun. But what he's talking about is the grace of God and the grace of God and the grace of God. Let me tell you what happened here. Let me tell you about this guy in Lystra. Yeah, it looked like he had faith to be saved. So I said, all right, stand up in the name of Jesus Christ. He never walked in his whole life. He jumped up and he was dancing around and, oh, it was crazy. And his point is God was working. God was doing this. God was moving. And there was no law involved. He didn't get up, was circumcised, and then started leaping and dancing. He just got up. You know, that's a strong point. And after they held their peace, James answered. This is not James, the brother of John. He's beheaded at this point, so if he's speaking, that is quite a miracle, right? This is James, the brother of Jesus. Really? Yeah, he's the head of the church at Jerusalem. He authors the book of James. Say, is he older brother? No, he's younger brother. Jesus was born of a virgin. Figure it out, okay? I mean, definitely younger brother, okay? He's listed several places in the Bible as being Jesus' brother. Now, to some, that would appear to be blasphemy. Only if you think, you know, perpetual virginity is a wonderful thing. I frankly don't. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know that I'm besmirching anybody's character. It's not even a little bit scriptural. Just so you know, if you want to argue later, that's fine. I never run away from a battle, but you'd be wrong, and I show you enough scriptures to show you that you'd be wrong. So James, he answers, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that's to say Simon, that's to say Peter, Simeon, okay? Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. Now, right now we have, okay, this is what happened here, this is what happened here. Peter started that off, and then Paul and Barnabas are saying that too. Now, James folds in the word of God. This is wonderful. The words of the prophet, after this I'll return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. This is scripture. This isn't just, I don't know how to say this right. This isn't just anecdotal. This is scriptural, okay? We knew this. If you know the scriptures, if you know your own scriptures, you Pharisees, why are you arguing the point? Wherefore my sentence is, what? Yeah, he's the boss. He's the head guy. Really? Yeah. Well, it's Peter, right? The first pope. Nah, it's James. Wherefore my sentence is, he's going to pronounce a verdict here. My sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Aren't you happy? Because that would be you. That would be me. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication, from things strangled and from blood. What? What? Huh? They abstain from pollutions of idols. Okay, don't be committing idolatry. The why question is going to come. We'll put that on the back burner. We'll deal with it in a second. And from fornication. Don't be sex outside of marriage. Absolutely wrong. Which had much to do with their worship, by the way. Most of the pagan worship was about sex. I don't know how else to say it. You see that many places in the book of Acts, and we'll be getting there, and I'll outline them as we touch down on those things, from things strangled and from blood. You know, if you're going to have meat, well, listen, there's a certain way to eat it. Don't just eat strangled meat, and you got to, you know, let the blood out. Kosher dietary laws, Adam? No, just that one. And the thing is this, why? Verse 21, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. I don't get it. Because they can't be any fellowship whatsoever. There's people out there preaching Moses in every city, and they got to do at least these minimalistic things, or they're going to be on the outs all the time. I can't even talk to them people. They don't even take the blood out of their meat before they eat it. This is so gross. They're in fornication. All they can do is believe, and they can have fornication, right? And they still go to heaven, and we don't. And we keep, you know, we're not adulterers, and we are faithful to our wives, and they get to go to heaven, and we don't. It's too much for them to understand or to believe or to get their mind around. He's saying, look it, just to pacify, as far as peace goes, so we can have fellowship, do these couple things. Don't be idolaters. Don't worship idols. Don't fall down to a statue and worship it. Fornication, let it not be named among you. We'll see that many places in the New Testament. Do this minimalistic thing. Don't eat meat offered to idols. Don't eat meat that has the blood in it. Been strangled. You got to let the blood out, because otherwise people ain't gonna have nothing to do with you. And that's the thing. What Moses was preached of old hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Okay, just do at least that much. It's like, not because if you eat meat that's strangled that you're going to hell. It's that you'll have a testimony among certain people. Then pleased at the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Because if Paul and Barnabas came back and said, see, we told you. No, this is wisdom. They're going to send men with Paul and Barnabas, and they name him here, namely Judas, surname Barsabbas. Why was he surnamed? Because his name's Judas. Deal with that. If your name's Judas at this point, your surname, your nickname, something else, okay? Barsabbas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they are. We're going to run into Silas more later on. He's going to be quite a blessing. And they wrote letters by them after this man. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. Boy, if you're a legalist, you're troubling people with your words. Knock it off. They've troubled you with words, subverting your souls. Listen, if you're a legalist, you're subverting people's souls. Why? Because they all have faith in Jesus Christ. They go to heaven, then you come along, and, oh, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. You're subverting their souls. Now they're wondering. I just the other day I was saved. I was going to heaven, and I was loving it. Now I don't even know. Thanks. You're subverting their souls. Knock it off, you legalistic people. Ye must be circumcised. That's the whole mess. You must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. And we're the apostles. We're the apostles. We're not the B apostles. We're not the B team. We're not the scrubs. We're the original guys. We spent time with Jesus. This isn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. He never said that. We were with him for 3.5 years. And he never said to anyone, oh yeah, you got to be circumcised. He's talking to a woman at a well. Did he talk about you got to keep Jewish dietary laws? You got to keep the Sabbath? He said, no, go and sin no more. This is all the message he had. He's saying, listen, I know they're saying all this stuff, but they're not saying it from us. It seemed good to us. I love that verse. It seemed good to us. You know, if it seemed good to us, you're at one of our elders' meetings now. Well, it just seemed good to you. What do you think? I don't know. I think that's right. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, we're praying about it. We're all in agreement. That's kind of how it looks. It's not like this. Well, thus saith the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he came into my heart and he said, it's not like that. It's like, it seems, I think so. That sounds good. And we trust God that will come up right. I mean, what else can you do? And don't play that Holy Ghost card too often, will you? Now we can't touch you because the Holy Ghost is on you, and you're the prophet or the prophetess, and don't do that, okay? Hey, it seems to me, okay, I'll buy that. It seems good to us, being assembled with one accord. We're in agreement on this, one accord, to send chosen men unto you and our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, these aren't just some yokels. These are guys who put their life on the line to serve Jesus. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by my mouth. Now, we're going to, let's just read these last two verses. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Listen, there's people coming and they have these convocations, these different groups, these different religious denominations, and they meet and they talk about, well, is homosexual activity, is that a viable alternative lifestyle? Should we ordain homosexuals? Should we marry homosexuals? Should we ordain women? Should we, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? You know what? If they come at the end of it and said, well, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost, I don't think that's the problem. I think they argue, and the people who get the majority, that's the ones who win. We vote on the will of God? Really? Yikes. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And you got to do this. This is necessary. That you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled, from fornication. For which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Look, if you keep yourselves, you shall be saved. No! If you keep yourselves in these, you'll do well. It's a good thing. That's all we're saying, okay? Can you do this at least, okay? You're going to commit fornication, you're going to hell? That's not the point. The point is you do well not to do fornication in your life at all. That's just wrong. It's no good for you at all, any way, shape, or form. That's the point. If you do these things, you'll do well. Fare you well. Check you out later. That's all. Goodbye. These few things. Do these things. You'll do well. We're going to lay no greater burden on you than these what? Necessary things. Okay, we're going to end there. Matt's going to come. He's going to lead us out of here with a song. And we're going to worship God. Why? Because God's laid on no other burden on us except these necessary things. Praise him. You can stand. I'll pray. It's good, Lord, that the gospel of Jesus Christ looks like we believe on him, we accept the salvation that he offers us, and we get to go to heaven. And in the meantime, Lord, you've given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, not because of our good behavior, despite the fact that very often we've done nothing to earn, to merit any of these things. And Lord, we like the gospel of grace. It's the only one that'll work for us. And I praise and I thank you, Lord. Every time I think about what you've done in my own life, I was that guy. I was that religious guy. Thank you, Lord, now that I just have a relationship with you. Lord, bless these quicks, these scattered thoughts. Bless them that they might find a home in our hearts, that we might, Lord, deliver us from legalism. I know some of us do well spiritually, and then we start getting conceited, Lord, and then we think everybody else should be doing like what we're doing. Lord, deliver us from that. In Jesus' name, amen.